afternoon, and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. My name's Dave. I'm a monk at the Zen Monastery Practice Center, and I'm here with two of my fellow monks, Brian and Michael. And the three of us have just returned from Zambia, where we were facilitating our project there in a little slum called Kantalumba on the outskirts of Ndola, which is Zambia's second largest city. So we're here today to talk about our trip and talk about what that was like and what we accomplished. Michael, why don't we start with you? I know it was your first trip to Africa. I wonder if you'd share a little bit about your experiences there and what you noticed.
Well, it was amazing, and I am really grateful that I had the opportunity to go. One of the things that stood out to me most is kind of the heading this falls under is we live in a really small world, and Africa is just like my hometown, Evanston, Illinois, and the people are Africans are just like Americans. As far as this person could see, everything is just the same, and I'm not really, I don't know how to articulate it other than that it's just like it's just a piece of earth, and there are people doing what they're doing, and this isn't helping to articulate it at all.
Well, what I hear you saying, this is my impression too, is that we're all human, and we share. Together. We're all beautiful people trying to do the best we can on this side of the ocean, on that side of the ocean. We're living in very different circumstances. Here we have a lot of what people they need there. We're all really the same in how we're, who we are and how we're attempting to live our lives.
Yeah, and the ability to connect is So it seems like in my mind, there's separation, and yet we, in every person I met there's the opportunity to connect in the same way that I could connect with anyone here, and so in that way we can touch each other, and there's the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean. For me, that's one of the most powerful parts about the project, especially from our side, is that we get to experience the people there and how beautiful they are and our sameness. And it's like the world gets a whole lot smaller. Yeah. What would you add?
Well, this was actually my second opportunity to visit the project in Africa, and it's been 3 years since I've been, and it's just a great world of change that's gone on as far as, the actual physical project. It's a lot greener now. There's a lot more kind of growth. There's a lot, the people seem a lot healthier, a lot cleaner. There's a lot more English being spoken. It just seems like there are big positive improvements on every kind of level, and so that was very it was almost overwhelming for me to see that much change.
That's really wonderful, isn't it? And it's great to be in Kantalumba, to be there on the property and to see everything they're doing. There's a lawn that they've planted. They've planted a whole bunch of fruit trees. We see healthy, growing children there. We see the people who work for the cooperative who are thriving in that environment. It's really kind of a beautiful thing to participate in.
Yeah, it's very nice to see that the work is definitely paying great dividends on that kind of material level, and then also kind of on the level of just seeing kind of the positive attitudes that everybody brought to the experience, all of the people within the co-op, how they've had sort of hard to put my finger on it, but it seems like Everybody involved kind of has a really a can-do attitude about everything that they, anything that comes up that can kind of improve their their lives they're ready to take on pretty much immediately.
Yeah, that's my feeling too. They really want to make a difference, and I think they really recognize the difference they're making. So who wants to talk about what kind of things we worked on this trip? Michael?
Well, let's see. A couple of things, two things that are standing out for me. One is we worked with the nurse of the program, Rose, and one of the programs that she has facilitated, overseen, really stood out to me. And what as an example of what the things that can be done through the cooperative that can make a really big difference, as small as they are. So what it was is going to houses of members of the cooperative with good cleaning supplies, like soaps and detergents and things like that, and cleaning their houses one at a time, and how so rashes on the skin after that disappeared, and kind of their other noticeable improvements, not to mention people get to live in cleaner environment, and just how, you know, so that's something that is actually lacking, something that we take so for granted, and how, so with this group of people, the cooperative is making a difference in their lives through a really simple program, and also probably, so that was one thing, and maybe I'll stop there. Okay, well, the other thing was the this new stove design. So they use charcoal for all of their cooking, people on Cantalomba. And so we looked into the possibility of getting people a type of stove that will reduce the amount of charcoal they use, which will save them a considerable amount of money. And so we started looking into and helping the cooperative look into producing these stoves. So to me, this is another example of kind of the power that this cooperative could potentially have in the larger community, because it can potentially create and supply these stoves to the larger community, and thereby improve the lives of people in Cantalomba in this small and yet very significant way. And so it was really exciting to come across this discovery, to see this is something that could potentially really help people, and see a way that through the cooperative we can bring it to people, and also assist the cooperative to support itself. This can be a way the cooperative makes money.
Yeah, we're really excited about the stoves in particular, and I think those are two really good examples of how the community center there is sort of the center for all of these different kinds of programs that go through, and each one of them is able to impact the community and make a difference in people's lives in their own way. Brian, anything you want to add?
What really stood out for me is kind of the headway we made on a number of fronts towards getting the community center, getting kind of more of its facilities online. So we have the structure, and that's where the feeding program takes place and where all the classrooms are and whatnot. But actually getting electricity in all of the rooms of that building, which is coming online, and getting all the fixtures and whatnot, it was really cool for me to be able to see folks just, you know, being able to wash their hands in the room that they happen to be in and whatnot, and having that all kind of come together was kind of a real treat to be a part of.
Yeah, it really was, because we've been trying for that for a really long time and kind of been waiting for a breakthrough. We ended up with a pretty big breakthrough, I felt like, in the, especially with the electrical part of it. We hired a local guy named Francis. I just heard a rumor, actually, that he finished the main building, and he started on the secondary building, which we call the Hammer Mill building, it's a building that we're going to put a machine in that grinds corn into cornmeal. And we're hoping that can be another sort of step forward for the cooperative in terms of business and sustainability. So there's that, and also we got all the plumbing fixed. So I think we're geared up for whatever the next phase is for that part of the cooperative. Anything else from you guys? Okay. Well, just for me, it was, as always, just a real pleasure to be there. I'm moved by the work, well, on both sides, really, the work that people here are doing to raise money and make such a difference. I tell you what my very favorite thing on the whole trip was the last morning we had this traditional dash to the Cantalomba before we catch our plane. We always find some excuse to have to go out there one last time. And we got there in time to see all the preschoolers in their classes. And we'd seen lots of kids all week, but we hadn't seen them in that formal setting. And that made my entire trip to go in there. And they are just so unbelievably adorable. And they're little bitty, and they're dancing, they're learning songs and more English words, and they're dancing while they're learning them. And I just saw how healthy they were, and I know that they're eating and that they weren't before. And I just really felt for what everybody's doing on both sides. On our side, raising a lot of the funds that is making that possible, and on their side, just showing up every single day to cook for these kids and to care for them and to teach them and everything they're doing. So. It's just such a good piece of work. Okay, I think we're out of time. So over to you, Michael Gray.
Great. Thank you so much, Dave, Michael, and Brian. Good night.
Thanks.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Hi, Michael.
How are
that
you?
That was fun.
It was fun. I have a big grin on my face.
Oh, me too. Me too. For people who've been following along for a while, those are just such powerful stories. It really is exciting, and I love hearing it at this time of year. For some reason, it just all of that success and how people's lives are being affected in huge and tiny ways, and just feels like the best gifts of the season. All that this season is meant to mean to people kind of is expressed in the relationship between the two sides of the world.
Yes. A lot of giving and receiving, I hear.
Mm. Mm. The best, and it's working. The thing that I'm so aware of in listening to the guys run through that is that we have actually hit the tipping point. Things are happening so fast now, and they're getting so much bigger. That Cantalomba is looking on two sides, from the sewing cooperative and the making the stoves. The industries that are going to actually make them self-supporting. It's remarkable. I mean, we've been looking at that for years, and now here it is, and along with it is the wherewithal to take those steps. So it's evolved so perfectly, as life always does, and then now we've just hit this place where the road opens up in front of us, and it's expansive. People are ready to move quickly, and quick movement is what we're taking off. So it's very exciting, very fun.
Very exciting. And I can never fail to mention the extraordinary blogs.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. That are available on the website that describe the trip. And I was just realizing the other day that, there were dozens and dozens of pictures. It seemed like these three guys were in every place in Cantalomba and Indola in one day.
Right.
And then I realized
they
had come home and typed up the whole thing.
Yes.
At the end of that incredible day.
Yeah, it's an awe-inspiring amount of work that happens And you know, again, kind of more so all the time because there's so much more happening, so much more to communicate. And your point is really excellent. You know, you get home from just a monumental day, and then there's hours of writing and picturing and blogging to do. And so I hope they're getting some well-deserved rest and nourishment, and I bet they are.
Yes, and I just received so much from those blogs. I just feel like I'm right there with them, and
mm-hmm.
it's just really inspiring and fun
mm-hmm.
and supportive and all that great stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have some announcements here.
Right.
The Santa Sabina New Year's Retreat is coming up.
Coming right up.
Coming right up. And you'll be presenting a workshop in Santa Barbara on January 7th and 8th.
Yes, Friday night and Saturday all day.
Great. I was just reading about that. It looks fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
And then
gourmet vegan food.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Organic.
Yeah, I plan to eat a great deal while I'm there.
Great. And then returning in the new year is our fabulous and fabulously popular Best Year Yet on Sunday, January 16th at the Mountain View Zen Center.
Mm-hmm. Sign up early.
Sign up early. Great. And, Sherry, we ask people to keep their conversations to one topic and to 5 to 10 minutes.
Yes.
And we can talk to lots of people that way.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. And we are now ready. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. My name's Ellen, and I'm calling from Chicago.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi.
Hi. I've been looking at a process that seems prominent in my life, and I'm not really sure how it happens, but the way it ends up is that I feel like I'm alone and misunderstood, and then I get angry at people that I think don't get me and at people that I feel like have abandoned me. And I was reading today's Transform Your Life, and it seemed related to that. And it said, express yourself at a time when you usually withdraw or remain quiet. And so I've always wanted to talk to you, but been afraid to call. And so I just decided that I would take a chance and call and say hello.
Good for you. Now, that is an action-oriented approach to life, isn't it? You read the quote, you read the encouragement, and boom, there you are.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you taking that in, the magnitude of that?
Yeah, I kind of can't believe I did it.
Well, you can believe it. Yeah. So, let me ask you this. Have you read our new book?
Is
What You Have?
Yeah, I'm in the process of reading it. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And
Go ahead.
I've started to make some recordings, and I'm kind of, I feel like it's a process of finding my voice, you know, because sometimes I come up with things that I've heard other people say, and then sometimes I feel like it's really my voice, and that's what I'm looking for.
Well, this is what occurred to me about it when you were describing your situation, because I was just talking about this recently. That so there you are, I am in a situation, and whatever it is going on, and I really want somebody to understand me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just want them to get what I'm feeling and thinking and talking about.
Right.
And they don't. And, of course, it's not that they're mean, awful, bad people. It's that it's really difficult for us to understand somebody else. I mean, we can sort of understand somebody else. We share an awful lot of, you know, feelings and thought processes and that sort of thing. But when it gets right down to the, I'm feeling this and what I really need is X, And that, I just can't work that other person around to know that that's what I need for them to say or do. And by the time I explain it to them, you know, it's like explaining a joke. Who cares at that point?
Yeah.
And so what I've discovered is that if I pick up the recorder and I talk into the recorder what's going on with me, I'm the one who knows what I need to hear. And so I can say, either knowing that it's me, or sometimes in that magical way where words come out of my mouth that I'm not expecting, and I suspect the mentor is at work, I can get back exactly what I need to hear, the exact choice of words and right tone of voice, because I'm the one who knows what that is. And I find that two things happen. One, I prefer it because it's just easier than trying to orchestrate and then have to hate people who let me down. I like it better because it's so satisfying. And two, there's no residue. You know, nobody's going to bring it up later. I don't have, you know what I mean? It's complete and it's so satisfying.
Yeah, it seems so much simpler in a way.
Yeah.
Than trying to engineer other people.
Exactly. And you know, we were all raised to believe that somebody is going to be able to provide that for us. And yet our own success rate or lack thereof in providing that for somebody else can let us know that it's just a really, really, really hard thing to do. And kind of a waste of time. Because if I know what I need to hear, what I want to hear, what will take care of me, then why not provide that for myself? Learn to listen to that wisdom that's for me, that I need, to take it in and feel complete. Now, the bad news about that is that as you move more into that realm of not needing anything from other people, but feeling really complete within yourself, other people are going to start coming at you wanting to get some of that for themselves. You know what I mean?
Some of what for themselves.
They'll want you to provide for them what they need.
Oh, yes, because I know how.
As you know how. And so at that point, rather than trying and failing to say what it is that they need to hear in the way they need to hear it, you can just encourage them along the lines of self-mentoring, and everybody will be happier.
Okay, I'll remember that.
Well, what I'd like for you to do, of course, is give it a shot and then call us back and give a report. And we can, you know, work out any loose ends.
Okay, thank you.
Tie up loose ends. That's what we do.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks for your encouragement.
Yeah, well, thanks for having the courage to pick up the phone and follow that sage advice from that fine little book.
Okay, feels really good. Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for joining us, Ellen. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Hi.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Next caller, are you there? Okay, let's try another one. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh,
who
hi.
Is this?
This is Zoe.
Zoe?
Yeah.
Hi, Zoe.
This is the first time I've called.
And you sound like you're kind of shocked by the fact that you got here.
I am. I didn't expect to get on the phone, and now I have lots and lots of energy.
Uh-huh. Plenty of life force rocketing around in your body?
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
I guess I just wanted to call to get a little bit of support since I'm new to this practice in particular.
Uh-huh.
And I had a couple of quick questions that seemed somewhat superficial, but I thought it would be at least a starting place.
Great.
Because I am looking forward to the retreat in New York State since I'm in Buffalo, and I'm planning on going to the Rhinebeck, New York Omega Institute retreat. Yeah, as soon as registration opens, I want to sign up. But in the meantime, I've really been wondering. I came from a different tradition of Buddhist, Tibetan Buddhism, and that's what I was practicing for quite a long time.
Uh-huh.
And, it was really just 4 years of self-hate using that as a stick to beat me with because I wasn't meditating every single day. And so I was delighted to find your books and start practicing. But I was always told when I started out that mixing traditions is a way to get kind of confused, and that if you're going to take a method that the Buddha taught for enlightenment, that you should pretty much just take one and go follow through and just run with it, you know. But I had talked to a good friend over this past weekend, and he said, it's fine. If you want to do your old meditation practices, you can do them. You shouldn't feel like you can't. That was kind of a quandary that popped up for me recently. And so I was wondering what your guidance would be in regards to practicing other meditation practices or just the ones that you prescribe.
Well, first of all, to me, that's not a superficial question at all. It's an extremely important question. And I would actually encourage people in exactly the same way that you've been encouraged. However, what you can do with me is in self-hate. Because self-hate doesn't have anything to do with Tibetan practices or Zen practices or Christian practices or Jewish practices or Muslim practices. Okay? Self-hate is its own animal and actually has nothing to do with anything at all except trying to ruin people's lives. So I think you're clear there. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I felt like that was the of course that was what was holding me back, and I felt like the Tibetan people that I talked to, I heard Tenzin Palmo say that, Tibetans really don't understand what self-hate even is and it's not in their culture, and regardless of whether or not that's true, I could see how that was completely limiting me, and that's why I was very, very excited to find, there's nothing wrong with you
because
and making a change for good.
Here's what I project you had noticed. You're not Tibetan.
Well,
therefore, since it is a big part of your culture, you need some way to deal with it.
Yeah. And I didn't find any at all, and so...
Yeah.
That's why I thought, wow, this is the most brilliant teacher I've ever met because she actually addresses this, which seems to be the most important thing, holding me back right now. So,
well,
the
jury is out on that. I wouldn't dissuade you from that perspective, but nor would I particularly support you. And one thing our practice does really well, I think, is address that issue and assist people to kind of see the difference in awareness practice or spiritual practice, meditation practice, and this old garden variety self-hate that's coming after people no matter what they're doing. Was there another question?
I wanted to be brief because I know you have a lot of callers. Let's see. There was quite a few that I've been having, but they're most of them I know the answers to. So I guess I wanted some guidance. You know, I've been doing Making a Change for Good. And you know, I really don't have much content to work with aside from sitting, and that being like a big part. And I'm going to sign up for the Reflective Listening Buddies, I guess, in January, right?
Great. Now, I don't know what your circumstances are, how possible it is for you, but the one truly to sign up for is There's Nothing Wrong With You. Because that's the one that addresses the issue of self-hate head-on.
Right.
Yeah. So if you can, you know, if you can work that in, I know they just announced one for the end of January in Carmel, which, of course, is on our side of the country. But that would really be excellent. And those other supports are very helpful, too.
You know, sometimes I have trouble meditating with my eyes open. Does it matter? Because you said pretty much in your book to keep them open. Sometimes I find it easier to close them.
It does matter,
okay.
But I wouldn't worry about it right now.
Okay.
Wait till I get you on retreat. Then we can address that. Now, I think that's one of those places where it begins to mix too many things up.
Right.
If you can get a kind of a bead on the voices in your head and recognizing what they are and what they're doing to you when they're talking to you, and like that, that'll be a very good place to work.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely catch conditioning. I'm still trying to figure out the subpersonality stuff and what it is, but I've been catching it in the act, so it's been very encouraging.
Yes, and that's the thing. All the other stuff will fall into place, but hearing those voices for what they are and beginning the practice of learning to direct your attention away from those voices and back to where you want it to be, on the breath, in your body, however that goes.
Okay.
All right?
Well, thank you very much.
Well, you're most welcome. Keep us posted.
I will try. I have a commitment on Tuesday night, so it's really hard for me to call in. We're snowed in right now, so that's why I was able to call in.
Well, we'll plan to hear from you for most of the rest of the winter then.
Okay. All right.
All right. Take care.
Take care.
Good night.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks, Sherry.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Zoe. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our fabulous sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
By Trish Bruxford Colligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you bathed in an ocean of roses? What if you swam in a river of joy?
Well, welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Todd.
Todd?
Yes, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Excellent. Thank you.
Good. Just, it's great to check in and touch base and tell you how much I'm enjoying the supplement, the additional month of the email class.
Oh, me too.
I'm really enjoying it.
It's just almost so much fun. You can feel kind of guilty.
Yeah, I feel guilty and giddy at the same time. I'm giddily guilty.
Giddily guilty. Is it really
okay
to have this much fun doing awareness practice? Gosh, I guess so.
I was in the mall the other day with some friends, and I was just walking, projecting on all the people walking in their frenzied, frantic ability to buy gifts and make themselves feel good or make others feel good, and I just thought, I could just buy you a book and an MP3 player, and you'd be set. You know, I just had that thought. Just if I could just buy you a book, what you practice, what you have, and buy you an MP3 player that has a recorder on it, we'd be all set.
Yeah.
You know, I just thought, wow, how did I get so lucky?
Yeah, I feel that way too. I feel like I've been given the keys to the kingdom. And,
yes.
It's almost too good to be true.
It is.
But I'm not going to pinch myself.
Right. And I especially love, there's just two things that really stood out for me. The last, I think it was the very last blog about the, well, previous to the email flash blog about what we're up to,
mm-hmm.
I especially love the snakes blog.
Uh-huh.
Because I was in a process of telling a story that I didn't realize I was telling externally to family and friends over and over and giving it life.
Mm.
And then I read your blog and I went, oh my goodness, there's a whole ball of suffering there. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So I got it on my recorder and I processed it right out, kind of process mapped it on my recorder, and I've listened to it nonstop, and all that suffering energy has dissipated.
Yeah, and it's not that we're bad people for doing that to our family and friends. That's kind of what we do with our family and friends.
Yeah.
But it's so it just feels so good to realize that we don't have to. That's not the relationship we need to have with them.
Right.
You know, we can actually just be together in conscious compassion and awareness, and on our own time, we can take care of whatever those snakes are.
Yes, on our own time, we can take care of those snakes, and with the mentor, which is really the relationship you really only want to have with the snakes and yourself is the mentor.
Yes, precisely.
Because any feedback I got externally, Sherry, was not helpful.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't
exactly.
See that.
Yeah. And that happens to us over and over. But until we realize there's an alternative, it's kind of all we've got.
Yeah.
And to me, it's so sad because people are really trying to reach out, that people are trying to connect. You know, loving people get into really bad places together over this, you don't understand me, and that's not what I meant, and why are you
mm-hmm.
saying that to me? And it's just all avoidable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Almost exactly what you're talking to the previous caller about, the first caller about.
Mm-hmm.
It's looking, we've been taught to believe, I was a small child and conditioned to believe that we can externally get all those needs met for us that internally we are able to do for ourselves, which we're never told that, ever.
Ever.
Exactly, the exact opposite we're told.
Yeah. I'm at Esalen right now. Doing some work with folks here and talking with them today about the number of people who will literally get to 60, 70 years old and are still lamenting the fact that their parents didn't take care of them the way they needed to be taken care of.
Yeah.
And it's a horrible thing to consider because, of course, it's never going to change.
Right.
But it's way too late. Yes. And so, of course, that is a big hope of mine with this, that it'll become something that children have access to, and that children realize that the wisdom and the loving kindness that they need is within them, and that it's unrealistic to expect other people to be able to provide those things for us.
Yes.
And I don't see that as a cold-hearted thing, or, you know, that's removing love in some way. To me, it makes love much more possible and healthy.
Yeah. Yes, that is my experience, right. Yeah, when we're not constantly externally looking to, you know, for everyone else, you give our own self the unconditional love and acceptance, then we're free to love ourselves and others freely without the, you know, the conditioned expectations or strings attached to all those other things that conditioning wants us to suffer over.
Yeah, exactly.
It frees me up a lot. I love at the end of that email, the snakes, you said, it just frees up so much time and energy and money, and I just went check mark, check mark, check mark. Yes. Oh, my goodness. What have I, because I didn't have the awareness. That's why Sangha and having our guide and our teacher in this practice for me is just so critical. Because I just every short little while something comes up and goes, yes, I identify with that. It clicked.
Yeah.
And all the practice work I've done before has given me that ability to get there to go, yes, that makes sense to me. Now is I can see it and I can work with it.
Yeah. And so you and I are in the email class, and probably there are a lot of people out there listening to this who are not. And so I hope, you know, we don't sound like a club. But in reading the responses from people in the class, it is that constant experience, at least it is for me, it sounds like for you, of, that's a great idea. Okay, yes.
Yeah.
All right. I get that. Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
Right.
And so the power of Sangha doing this kind of work together in the open, you know, that now we have the ability for so many people to be in the same conversation at the same time.
Right.
It's miraculous.
It is. It really is. And just incredible gratitude rises in me. And I record a lot of those responses, and your response to the participant responses down in my recorder.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of just, you know, 5 minutes a day, just go through the ones that resonate with me and is my experience directly.
Uh-huh.
And then I have my mentor do a little comment on that, and it's just been so helpful.
Yeah.
I have that just right there and just so immediate, exactly what is going on and what I'm practicing, and then I have it on my recorder.
Yeah, and so you read something, and then there's your response to it, and and you get all of that down.
Yeah,
and it's just it's a little mini workshop right there. Over and over and over, we can go to that place of insight and awareness and openness and clarity. Just about moment by moment by moment.
Right. Yeah, I'm just loving the whole. I love the new book anyway, and I love the new addition to it. But just for me, the email class and the additional month has just been so supportive of that whole additional practice of recording. It, beyond reassurances that I learned that there's nothing wrong to retreats, this takes it just, for me, a whole new level that I think you've been pointing at all along here recently. It just gets to the specific karma that I'm dealing with, the specific subjects that are hearing, the specific self-hate that is coming up.
Yeah.
It just addresses it so poignantly.
Mm-hmm.
I just love it. Love it.
Me too. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. We'll see you. Fingers crossed. I got a lot of resistance coming up and a lot of craziness, but I'm trying to get to Santa Sabina. I'm still working with the airlines. Hope to see you in January or late December.
I hope it works. I'll put some energy in that direction.
It'll be happening tomorrow morning. Thanks, Sherry. Thanks, Michael.
All right. Thanks,
you're welcome.
Todd. Good night.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Todd. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Sandy from Florida. How are you?
Good. How are you?
It's almost as cold here as every place else in the country.
Wow. Now, if you tell me you're snowed in Florida, I'm gonna start getting nervous.
Okay, I'm not snowed in, but boy, is it cold out there. I went out and covered all my flowers because we're going to have a freeze tonight.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's really cold.
Mm.
And because the holidays are on, as I'm experiencing, well, I should say first that I've made a commitment to calling once a month, so this is my December call-in. And I picked up my recorder and did my recording right after I called last time and talked about the resistance to doing the recording, and I found it very helpful, and then I put it down and didn't pick it up again. So still experiencing some resistance, but at least it's better. And still working with Janine Roth and finding that really helpful through the holidays. But what I am having a problem with, and I'm hoping you can give me a little perspective on, is the busyness of the holidays. We've decorated the house, and we're having a lot of company, and we're having a lot of friends over. And then my husband said to me yesterday, gee, you know, we're free on Saturday night, so let's have a get-together, and came up with just under 20 people he thought we should invite over. And I really, I felt myself saying inside and to him, I can't believe you just want to add more to what I already have to do. I'm so overwhelmed. What are you thinking? And yet when I hear myself say that, I realize that, you know, this is a time when I want to be with people and do those things. But, you know, there's a part of me that is saying, too much, wait, no more. I don't want to.
Mm-hmm. And what I'm hearing is that's not okay.
I don't know if that's okay or not, because I'm not sure where it's coming from.
Uh-huh. So what I'm hearing in that is that there's a part of you who wants to do this.
Yes.
Who likes the get-togethers and the people and all of that. And a part
I do.
Of
I like them to happen. Yes.
So, okay, so maybe that's it. Somebody likes the party, but doesn't necessarily, is not the one who's doing the work.
Yeah, I think that'd be about right.
Yeah, and then there's Cinderella over there polishing the fireplace, hanging up the socks, and she actually doesn't get to go to the party because she's busy in the kitchen washing glasses and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I feel a little bit like that. It's not that bad. My husband really is very supportive, and I have wonderful friends, and everybody brings something, so it's really not that bad. But in my mind, it really is a Cinderella complex.
And so what might you be able to do? Do you have a relationship with that part of yourself such that you can talk with her?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
like,
find out what she needs. What would be helpful? What occurs to me is that she could just come to the party. And so
why is it?
Go ahead.
So why is it that I've been doing all this work with you for so many years, and I need to call the radio show to have you remind me that I could just sit down and chat with her and find out what she needs?
Well, because that's how it works. Now, have you read the new book?
I've read almost all of it now.
Okay, so you know the light room and the dark room?
Yes.
Okay, so, you know, unless we're paying really, really good attention, we kind of slide over there at least into the foyer to the dark room.
I see that.
Yeah, and so when we're in there, everything is quite murky and dark and unclear. And so, because you practice awareness, you recognize that there's something else, there's an alternative to that murkiness. But because you're kind of in a conversation there in the dark room, it's not clear what that is. So you reach out, you get the phone, you do whatever it is, and that remembering, that movement helps you be open to clarity then.
I extend my most humble gratitude for the enlightenment in one little phone call. I have a big smile on my face, and I'm just so joyful. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. And don't forget to thank the person who did it.
Oh,
okay,
I see
get
what
out
you're
that
saying.
Recorder. Get out the recorder.
Okay,
and,
it's in my hand right now.
Okay, have a little conversation with Cinderella. And then a little conversation with the person who remembers to get you the support that you need.
Thank you so much, Sherry.
You are most
this
welcome.
Practice is just amazing, and I just thank you with all my heart.
You are so welcome.
Good night now.
Talk to you in the new year.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from Sangha Market and Stop, Drop, and Breathe, and we'll be right back.
All right.
What's this from Living Compassion?
If you've got a craving for fundraising and can't get enough of the good stuff, cruise and jet on the internet to www.sanghamarket.com.
That's sanghamarket.com for all of you squares out there.
Sangha Market, where you can sell, auction, buy, all to benefit Living Compassion. Check it out today.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop. Drop and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by VoiceBusters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Nancy from Seattle, or actually
Hello.
From Bellingham.
I'm from Bellingham.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing really well. I wanted to call in because I was at your workshop at East West Bookstore, and I don't feel like I had enough time to just thank you so much for coming up there, number one, and for also the email classes and the extension of the email class, which has transformed my life.
Ooh.
So very, very thankful.
Well, I'll tell you what, I love to hear that. Tell me a little bit about Transformed My Life.
Well, I think one of the biggest things I've noticed is, and I think we touched on it a little bit in the workshop, but when I put both the conditioned voices and the mentor on the tape and listen to that over and over again, it's so apparent, you know, when I'm walking around in day-to-day real time, how apparent the differences between the two and the conditioned voices just kind of stick out, or they just, it's like a red alarm, you know, when they start talking, because I know exactly what's happening and who they are.
Uh-huh.
So it's helped me to define both the mentor and the conditioned voices of self-hate.
Yeah.
And that.
Inside the head, people get confused by what's what. You know, now because I think the voices of conditioning and self-hate don't sound that bad inside the head because we're so used to listening to them there.
Right.
But when you hear them out loud and then hear them back through your ears, it's just like, wow.
Yes.
That's very, very clear.
Yes. And, you know, I've, of course, done all the reassurances over the years, and they have been helpful. However, it's the mentor, the actual defining the mentor for me has been the most helpful in this past workshop.
Uh-huh.
Now I have a visceral feel of who that is and how that feels in my body.
Yes.
And the comfort and the just the security of knowing that mentor is taking care of me.
Yeah. So we, you know, we have a lot of information that says, you know, everything from smile, God loves you, to the kingdom of heaven is within, or,
right.
You know, your authentic, your Buddha nature is, you know, intrinsically you're this. You know, we could all come up with language we've heard where people are trying to describe to us who we really are and what we really are. But to have that sense of it, as you say, that felt sense in your body to know experientially that that is so, to be able to feel that and know that you have access to it at any time you turn your attention there,
yes,
is beyond powerful.
It's transformative.
It's transformative, which was your point in the first place. Yeah,
right.
Exactly. It'll just turn a life right around.
But anyway, I just wanted to call in and tell you that. I so enjoyed seeing you last Thursday, and it was just a delight. And I hope you can make it up here again soon.
I bet I will, and thank
maybe
you. Maybe to Bellingham. I like Bellingham. Yeah, and thank you very much for the little gift that I received.
Oh, you're very welcome. That's another story about self-hate and listening to conditioned voices.
Uh-huh.
But it's on Sangha Market. So
I know that it was an example of the kind of little bags that. Or the messenger bags and that sort of thing that you have on Sangha Market. So I hope people
right.
go there. They're very, very cute.
Oh, well, thank you, Sherry.
All right. Thank you, Nancy.
All right.
Good to hear your voice.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye now.
Thanks for joining us, Nancy. You're listening to Open Air. And they're still calling, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Next caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Nancy from the other part of the country, from Driftwood, Texas.
Well, it's
and
Nancy
hello,
Knight.
Sherry.
Hi there.
A quick note is that as somebody who really doesn't even know the difference between an iPhone and an iPod, I wonder if somewhere on the website you guys could just suggest something to buy. Earlier you said an MP3 player with a recorder, and that's great, but just brands or something to start accessing iPods and do these recordings?
Yes, and certainly you could use something like an iPod or an iPhone or something like that. But
see, I don't know what any of those are. So I'm just, my request would be that if there could just be a little blog about...
Here, I'm gonna tell you that... What I use is a simple little digital recorder from Radio Shack.
Got it. And can I download the archives on that too?
There are two types of recorders, and you can some are work with your computer. And if that's the case, then you know you should be able to go back and forth. Some don't. Mine doesn't. Just because I. You know,
the first thing I want to do is get started on the recording, so I'll go to Radio Shack.
So if you have a Radio Shack anywhere near you, just go in, and the very knowledgeable folks in there will give you so many options and show you how it all works.
All right, tomorrow it is.
Good.
And my real question is, I ended a relationship a few months ago with someone who just will not quit turning to me as the mentor, and I've given him the books, I've turned him onto the Radio Show, I've done everything I can to help him be his own mentor, and it's a small town, we see each other a lot, and I don't know what to do about being bombarded with basically save me.
Well, do you know the communication technique called broken record?
No.
Okay, so here's how it works. Somebody is basically saying the same, a variation on the same theme over and over. And so I have a response that I say. So, for instance, I might say something like, I know that you're just, you're completely equal to your life. I know that you are just whole and complete as you are. Whatever it is that seems to be the response, and then that's all I ever say.
Okay.
Like a broken record.
All right.
Could,
and
could be worth a try.
And someday, well, yes, yes. Okay, well, thank you for both solutions.
You're very welcome. I hope something comes of one or the other or both of them.
I have the greatest respect for Radio Shack, so something will come from that.
All right, good. Thanks,
all right,
Nancy.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Nancy. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Next caller, are you there?
Yeah, I am. Hi, Sherry.
Hi there.
This is Janet calling from New Hampshire.
Hey, Janet.
Hi.
Are you snowed in?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm not. We had maybe an inch of snow, but not very much at all.
Most of the bad weather has moved to Florida, so you should be all right. What's going on?
Well, I wanted to report in on something that happened. Are you getting an echo, or is that just me?
I don't hear an echo.
Okay, well then I'll just deal with it. So we had our support call on this weekend for the Reflective Listening Buddies.
Uh-huh.
And on that call, I talked about reflective listening and how everyone I talk to I'm really inspired by.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took the projection, you know, that I'm really inspired by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that went into my next Reflective Listening Buddy call, where I started talking about it. Oh, no, then it went into my recording. So I talked into my recording about how I was really inspiring myself and how I was really choosing myself, you know, with words like, I choose you, Janet, you know, really heartfelt. And so then I went from there to my Reflective Listening Buddy call again and talked about it again. And then that night I had a dream where I was not chosen for something. Everybody was going somewhere, and I was the only one not going. And it was that same familiar anxiety and, oh, my God, you know, I'm losing out. And I woke up, and I got the recorder again, and I talked into it. And what it really came to was this big piece of karma for me around externally wanting something from the outside. And yet what I got when I listened to myself on the recording, telling myself that I was choosing myself, was so amazingly peaceful, and I just can't even explain it. It was so much more than ever being chosen from the outside. It was like such a clear distinction of outside-inside. And it was like, well, bring on the dreams, because conditioning can't get me in life right now, so it's coming in my dreams.
Yes, yes, because certainly that kind of validation or acceptance or whatever it is not a happy thing for egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, right?
No.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's not surprising, and I'm glad... I'm really glad to hear you take that attitude with it, because as I'm sure you know, a lot of times when karmic conditioning starts attacking people at night, they get scared because it seems kind of otherworldly and spooky and that sort of thing. But as you say, it can't get you during the day, so it's going to get you in your dreams at night.
Well, it's just to speak for what we're doing, because if I wasn't paying such close attention and recording this and talking about it, about how I'm choosing myself, you know, and then to have a dream so obvious about you're not chosen. Everybody's going but you.
Gosh, I wonder what the message is there.
Oh, my God. How? I mean, couldn't they be a little bit more creative? I mean, it was just perfectly obvious, and it was... Well, you asked that question today. What are you seeing? You know, what's the big thing? And that's what I'm really seeing from all of this, is that there is nothing outside of myself that will ever match what comes from within myself.
Yeah.
For myself.
Yes.
Never.
Never. Yeah. And again, you know, if people can hear this sort of thing and think, "Ooh, are we creating egomaniacs here?" But the reality is, it's just the opposite of that.
Oh, it's already told me that I'm an egomaniac. Not in that same word, but you're being too conceited.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
But it's
and
not
actually,
the same.
No, because actually what you're doing with that internal satisfaction is connecting with everything. So instead of living in that superficial world of egocentric karmic conditioning, trying to get something from other people, living in the past, living in the future, focused out there, by coming back to center, to authenticity, there is the satisfaction, there's the completeness, there's that realization that life is animating you, life is living you. And in that, there is a connection with everyone. It's just not on a karmic conditioning level.
No, and the sense of it is just so huge. It's so big. And it has nothing to do with fear. And it has nothing to do with, I don't know how to describe it, making myself small and crunched in.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And interestingly, in that paradoxical way that one has to experience to get, it's not about you. By choosing you in the way you're talking about, you as a separate self cease to exist.
Yes, and that's probably what that sense of unbelievable peacefulness is.
Yes.
It's just... That personality and everything's gone.
Yes.
Wow.
In the workshop that I was doing today, we were doing an imagery, and she had this response to it that was, I don't care if I live or die. And when she heard herself say that in the imagery, there was a split second of, oh, my God, that's the wrong answer. And then just this huge feeling of peace and joy and freedom. And what she realized was that in that split second, she let go of the ego. And when that fell away, everything else was there. Which is what you're describing.
Yeah. So I just wanted to report that and say that it all of the connections with Sangha through all of it is just so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole, so it's been great.
Yes, and continues to be.
I keep saying in my recording, wow, this is so big.
Yes, it is.
And then today I said, I keep saying this is so big all the time, because every time I see something, I'm like, wow, this is really big.
Uh-huh, and it is.
It is, and it's been great. So,
and every time we see it, we go to that same place, have that same realization, except it's not the same place and it's not the same realization, because each time we're there, it's brand new. So the fact that we express that amazement with the same word simply means our language is limited, but our experience is not.
Oh, that's very cool, yeah. I like that.
Good.
Thank you so much.
You are so welcome.
Thank you, Michael.
Talk to you in the new year.
Okay. Okay. Bye. Happy New Year to you, too. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Janet. You've been listening to Open Air, another big show.
Another really big show.
Yes, it was great. And great to hear from so many people.
Huh?
And great to hear from so many people.
Great to hear from so many people. It really is. It really is true. I'm so thankful that you remind us each time of our new format, because it is wonderful to get to hear from so many folks.
Yes, familiar voices, new voices. It's very fun.
Yeah. Sangha, all good.
All good. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael. Good night.
Good night. Good night.